Matthew 12:40. Isn't it awesome we have a tool like that? Now listen, you notice I didn't let that take me there. I just let it help me find it. Now I'm going to go back to my actual Bible, and I'm going to look at what Matthew 12:40 says. Actually, if I would have looked at my notes better, I have that down, don't I, Monica? Look right there.
Yeah.
Durr. You don't have to be smart to be a preacher. Matthew 12, watch this, verse 38, actually. Some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, this is a whole separate different time. Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. He answered, a wicked, adulterous generation seeks for a miraculous sign. So let me just say this straight up, friends and neighbors. If you need God to prove himself to you, you are acting as if you were a wicked, adulterous person. What do you mean adulterous? I ain't never cheated on my wife. Not talk about cheating on your wife or your husband. Talk about cheating on God. Mm-hmm. Talk about spiritual adultery. And spiritual adultery is when you let anything or anyone take God's place in your life. So he said, a wicked, adulterous generation seeks for sign. But verse 40, for as Jonah, verse 39 again, a wicked, adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet of Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish or whale, so the Son of Man, the Messiah, will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and one greater than Jonah is here. Let's just stop right there. What is the sign of Jonah? I'm asking you, not based on your TikTok video that you watched, this guy and that guy and this girl and that girl and all these content providers. Listen, they're not bad people. They're providing content that leads people to inquire of God. But let me tell you something. When you hear anybody linking the sign of Jonah to an eclipse that's going to happen across the United States on April the 8th, and they're saying that that eclipse is the sign of Jonah, they're full of beans. Because here's why. The Bible tells us what the sign of Son of Jonah is, what Jonah is. Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, the Son of Man's going to be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. The sign of Jonah is that he was swallowed up and spit out. Jesus was swallowed up with death, and death couldn't hold him. That's the sign. You say, well, what about the eclipse? I'm glad you asked, and after the break, we're going to come back and talk more about that. But between now and then, we're going to use what we've been talking about all day, and that is this, faith. We're going to reach out in faith. Our prayers are going to enter the throne room of grace. Our prayers are going to receive help for a time of need, and God is going to answer these prayers in accordance with his will and plan. Amen?
Amen. Audrey, one of our TikTok friends, asked us to pray for her and her sister Ashley.
Okay.
We want to pray for Kevin Fritch, who had a heart attack. I think it was the end of last week. He's having surgery this morning. Mm-hmm. My friend Angela's family, her son Ricky has been placed on hospice now, and her mom Vicky's in the hospital for kidney failure. And we want to continue to pray for Joe Pyatt and Neva. And Maya asked us to pray over two missing women in Kansas, mm-hmm. that they will be reunited with their families.
All right. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and we are thankful that we can come to you, that you are always our rock and our refuge. Father, there are some pretty serious needs being mentioned here, and then there are some things that we're not getting information on, but Lord, you know what Audrey needs, you know what her sister Ashley needs, and Father, we believe right now for a release of your grace and mercy and anointing, Lord God, to take care of whatever is going on in their lives. We believe you for it. Father, we pray that above all things, your love, Lord God, would flow to every person that's mentioned today. For Kevin, who had a heart attack, Lord God, I thank you that you are the God who specializes in giving new hearts and in repairing hearts. So, Father, we know that you are working on his behalf. And Father, for Angela's family, Lord God, Lord, we know that it is never easy when we go through these trials. The whole family goes through it. And Father, with their son, Ricky, I just pray, Lord, that above all things for him and for Mom Vicky, Lord God, that your supernatural presence be there. Your peace would prevail over every word that's spoken. Doctors are not bad people. They just have to give out bad news many times. And I pray, Lord, that that bad news would be superseded by your good news, that you so loved Ricky and Vicky and Joe and Neva and Kevin and Audrey and Ashley and all of us, Lord God, that you've not left us without hope or without help. We believe that you are still the Creator who spoke the world into existence, who when you walked on this earth, Jesus, you healed every form of sickness and disease. You even called the dead back to life. You made the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear, the mute to speak. You cast out the devil where he did not belong. And today we ask you to move on behalf of every one of these prayer requests and even those who weren't mentioned. And we want to thank you, Father, for all the prayers that you've been answering. Lord, I know in my own personal life, you gave me a beautiful, happy, healthy grandson last week, and the doctors at OU Medical were just scratching their heads in wonder, wondering how they could have been so wrong about what they thought they were seeing. And Father, I thank you that you are still the God who's in control, and we love you and appreciate it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We will be right back after these messages. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-343-8635. Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here in Elk City at the Promise Center.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. God has designed us to be unique. What we feel, how we see, and why we express is unequaled. You have a reason why you are here. He wants to help you with that reason. You are a channel to your world. What flows through that channel is how your world will experience the influence of you. So what goes through you is what feeds your world.
Drew's Plumbing, Heating and Cooling is located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all of your plumbing, heating and cooling needs, contact Drew's at 580-343-2525. They are a company that cares.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Pastor Tammy Bailey would like to invite you to the Refuge Church. They're located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Sunday school is at 10, Sunday worship at 10:45, Sunday evening prayer is at 5, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, Wednesday Bible study at 7, Wednesday youth group at 7. If you have any other questions, you can contact Pastor Tammy at 580-729-0956. We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for today is Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. His title for today is The Sign of Jonah.
The Sign of Jonah. So, where do we take that from? I didn't get my title today from social media. I got it from the Word of God. We read several places here, 2 in the book of Matthew, 1 in Luke, and there's others in there where you see this recorded. that they came to Jesus and they demanded a sign or asked for a sign. Give us a sign. If you're really the Son of God, give us a sign. You know, and Jesus said, no sign's going to be given to you, no sign, except this. Jesus said, the sign of Jonah. Now, here today, in our world today, this week, we are about to experience on April the 8th, here in the United States of America, not very far from where I'm speaking to you from, there's going to be a solar eclipse, a total solar eclipse. The path of totality is going to go southwest, south of where we're at here in western Oklahoma, but not that far. It's supposed to be like 80% right here where we're at. But in that path of totality, I mean, it's like people are flocking, making plans, taking off, work, this and that. It's people are going to this like it's some sort of a spiritual pilgrimage. I mean, literally, they're cities, towns, small town, they're having to tell people, listen, our town ain't open. We don't have an infrastructure for 10,000 of you people to show up and look. You know, we don't have restaurants. We don't have restrooms for you. You know, you can't come here. It's crazy. The people are flocking to it. Why? Because we have a world. We live in a world that is literally craving that which they do not have. And that is that they are craving to know that they know that they know that God is real, God is good, God is in. We look around the world around us. We look at the things we can see. Like Jesus said, you see the sky red in the evening and you say, oh, it's going to be fair weather tonight. But the same sky's red in the morning, you say, oh, it's going to rain today. And he said, you're experts in interpreting the signs you see around you in the natural realm. You think you are. He said, but you don't get the real sign. The real sign, listen to what God is saying. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. I can tell you this. The Holy Spirit has told me so many things before I could actually see him with my eyes. And some of those things I liked and I loved it when he said it to me. And some of those things I did not like when he said it to me. He has comforted me. He has encouraged me. And he has rebuked me. It goes both ways. And I've heard him tell me things I wanted to hear. And I've heard him tell me things I didn't want to hear. But here's something I'm not hearing him say. I'm not hearing him tell me that when this eclipse comes, it's the end of the world as we know it. It's not the end of the world. It's not even going to be the rapture of the church. I can practically guarantee you it's not going to be the rapture. You hear me say practically? You know why? Because no man will know the day or the hour. But Jesus said this, when the fig tree starts putting on leaves, you do know that the time is drawing near. You just don't know when it is. And you know what a fig tree represents? Israel. Did you know that for 2,000 years there was no Israel as a nation? There were people of Israel. There were the Jews dispersed throughout the world. There were Jews living in all over the world. But there was no Israel. And then in our lifetime, right now I'm speaking to you in 2024, in my lifetime, when I was a little kid, Israel was already there. But when my parents were little kids, there was no Israel. There was no Israel. You know, my dad was born in 1931. If you came to him when he was 10 years old and start talking to him about the nation of Israel, he would look at you like, what are you talking about? His mom was a Sunday school teacher. She would have told you, well, that Israel is the nation back here in the old part of the Bible. They would not talk about the nation of Israel as a present-day thing. And then Scripture said, can a nation be born in a day? That's the question, and it goes on to say, but yeah, God can cause it to happen, and he did. And Israel as a nation is here. The fig tree is here. And the leaves on the fig tree are there. The nations around Israel are hostile towards them, towards Jerusalem. We see it. It's not new. It's not new, but I guarantee you this. In 1940, you wouldn't have seen nations surrounding the nation of Israel. You know what? There wasn't one. There was no nation of Israel for them to come against. They were already trying to exterminate the Jewish people. Why do you think Hitler was trying to kill every living Jew on the earth during World War II? I can answer you. Because Satan had caught wind that Satan knew that God was going to regather and restore his people. You want to know why? When God speaks, Satan believes it. But he's so deceived by his own lies that he believes he can overthrow God. He believes that he can wipe the Jewish people off the face of the earth, then God's Messiah can't come. He tried to kill Jesus when he was a baby. He tried to stop Jesus from coming. He couldn't. Satan's never up on God. God is never reacting to what Satan did. Satan is always trying to play catch up with what God is doing. And most of the time, God is using even things that Satan is involved in to bring about what God has already spoke. Like the crucifixion of Jesus. Satan entered Judas to betray Jesus. But he didn't do it apart from the plan of God. It was God's plan. Satan didn't kill Jesus. Jesus offered himself a living sacrifice. But here's where I'm at with it. We don't need a sign. You say, well, hang on now. I saw this video, and they're talking about how this eclipse is going to come across in Mexico, and it's going to be moving northeast, and it's going to come right through. And as soon as it enters America, one of the towns is going to cross is Nineveh, Texas. And then it's going to go up, and it's going to go across Missouri. It's going to cross Nineveh, Missouri. And it's going to cross, I don't even remember all of them. There's 7 or 8 towns all the way up. The last one is Nineveh, Nova Scotia in Canada. It's going to cross like 7 or 8 towns or cities named Nineveh, which is the city that Jonah went to preach at. And according to ancient records, there was an eclipse while Jonah preached to Nineveh. And part of what turned the hearts of the people, according to these people talking about eclipses, was that the people of Nineveh saw this supernatural sign, or they saw this sign in the sky, and they're like, dude, this guy's, we better straighten up. But that's not what Jesus said turned them. Jesus didn't say, just as the preaching of Noah along with the eclipse turned the hearts of the people. He said, no, they repented. They repented. They chose to repent at the preaching of Jonah. Because here's what Jonah said. He came into the city and goes, you're wicked, you're adulterous. God said he's going to judge you in 40 days. And they believed it. All of them. Every man, woman, and child, and their leader, their ruler, their king. So he himself put on sackcloth, declared a fast, said, we're all going to seek God. And they did. And God said, that's exactly what I was after. And so God said, go tell them I'm not going to destroy the city. After all, because they turned to me. I mean, you want to talk about wicked. They were wicked. Wicked, wicked, wicked. Do you realize this? That Sodom and Gomorrah would still be there today if God could have just found 10 people out of a huge multitude. You know, he first came and it was like, would you spare it for 50? Yeah. 40? Yeah. 30? Yeah. 10? Yep. God said, I'll spare it for 10. But they couldn't find 10. I can tell you this, Monica lives in a very small town in western Oklahoma, and I can guarantee you this, there's more than 10 righteous people even in that little bitty place. Mm-hmm. And in Burns Flat that I live in, not much bigger than Dill City, I can guarantee you there's more than 10 righteous people. So will God spare it? Well, he would spare Sodom for 10 righteous people. Will he spare us? I believe he will. I believe that's his desire. I don't believe God is going to destroy America. Now, America's doing a pretty good job of destroying America, but God is not going to. But say, well, I believe that God's going to judge things. I mean, Pastor, are you not aware of what the president made a proclamation last Friday? On Good Friday, he signed a presidential proclamation declaring the following Sunday to be whatever it is, transgender something other day. Do you know there are over 100, there are already over 100 days on our United States calendar that are recognized as official things from our government that have to do with homosexuality and transgenderism. They have the whole entire month of June is called what? Pride Month. Pride Month. Well, I'll tell you something about pride. The Bible says pride precedes destruction and comes before the fall. And when you read that, and you don't believe me about this proclamation, go to whitehouse.gov. That's not some right-winger thing. That is the White House's website. Go to wh.gov and read the proclamation made by Joseph R. Biden Jr. on Friday, last Friday, on Good Friday, he signed this proclamation on Good Friday to declare that the 31st of March was recognition of this Transgender Day. Now, you can't tell me that they didn't know that he was signing it on Good Friday, and that Sunday, what most people call Easter Sunday, I call it Resurrection Sunday or Holy Sunday. He declared Resurrection Sunday to be Transgender Day. Signed it as President of the United States. And I'm not making it up. Go check it out, whitehousewh.gov. Now, you tell me that that is not sticking your finger right in the eye of God and spitting in his face while you're doing it. That is what our government is doing. That is where we are as a nation. And there are millions and millions of people in this nation who support what he did. And they had an Easter egg hunt at the White House, but they removed every form of religious symbolism. He claims to be a Catholic. The Catholics don't claim him, and I don't blame them. He no talk. It would not be allowed to mention Jesus, the Lord, God, the cross, the death, the resurrection. None of that would be mentioned in their celebration. Here's what they called it: celebration of the March holidays. They wouldn't even say Easter. ABC on your TV, ABC, you know, that channel, their news people refuse to even say the word Easter. And Easter's a compromise. The word is Resurrection Sunday. That's the world we live in. And the world needs to repent. America needs to repent. Do you personally need to repent? Maybe, maybe not. But our nation as a whole needs to repent. But here's what God said. God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways... If there's any ways in our life that are wicked, we need to turn from it. Listen, what word? Wicked. Now, what did Jesus call the people who were saying, give us a sign, give us a sign? What did he call them? Wicked. So listen to me. It is wicked for us as Christians to ask God, give us a sign. Let us know that he's already given us all the signs we need. We don't need it anymore. We have our faith. We don't need a sign. And this eclipse, it's a natural phenomenon. Yes, God is going to use it to draw people to him. Yes, but he don't want you to just repent on April the 8th. He wants you to repent today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day, anytime we need it. The word repentance is not a dirty word. You know there are churches that won't say the word repent because they're woke. They shouldn't even be called churches. If you don't preach the Bible, if you don't declare Jesus is Lord and that sin is real and hell is real, and you know that if you die apart from Jesus, you're going to die and spend an eternity separated from God in a place called hell. If you don't preach the true word of God, you shouldn't even have your doors open. But that's the world we live in. And the world does need to repent. But what I want to say today is this: seeking and asking God to show you signs, it's wicked. It's not something we want to be participating in. So the fact that this eclipse is going to come across and it's going to go across 7-8 cities called Nineveh and it's all this stuff that many, many people are tying it to Jonah. Well, I'm not going to say that you can't see these things and say, wow, that's pretty ironic. That's pretty coincidental, and I don't always believe in coincidence. But here's what I'm trying to get across. Is it a call of God to repentance? I believe it is, but I don't believe God's waiting for the eclipse. I believe God's calling Joe Biden to repent today. I call Joe Biden to repent today. I repent today on behalf of Joe Biden today. As a citizen of this country, I declare before God and before you that those views and those things that they push forward do not represent us. The majority of us as Americans want, we want our nation to be, as our motto says, one nation under God. And we want it to be indivisible with liberty and justice for all. We don't want to be divided by politics. We don't want to be divided by religion. We don't want to be divided. But we want God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we release peace. We release grace. I know I'm on a rant a little bit. I could be more on a rant, but the fact is what I came to speak to you today, what God put on my heart to speak to you today is you don't need a sign. You've already got the sign. God sent his son. He died on a cross for our sins. He was buried in a tomb just like Jonah was buried in the belly of the whale. And on the third day, at the will of God, he was back out to do his mission. So what could we learn from Jonah? I'm going to take you to the book of Jonah real quick before we close out. Go to the book of Jonah. It's toward the end of the Old Testament. It's kind of in the middle of all those what's called minor prophets. But go to the book of Jonah. You probably know the story of Jonah. If you don't, it's a pretty short read, and I believe you'd probably be blessed by it. I mean, literally in my Bible, it's that page, and a little bit of that one. I mean, I could read it in 2 minutes. You could read the whole thing. You might not be able to keep up if I did, but. So, in essence, in Jonah, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah and says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to tell them to repent, or I'm going to destroy that place. But verse 3 says, Jonah 1:3 says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish and went down to Joppa, found a ship bound for that port and paid the fare and went on and to flee from the Lord. In other words, he said, I would rather run from God than speak the truth. There are a lot of Jonahs in this world today, preachers called of God, who would rather run from God than speak the truth. Just saying. So he gets into the ship, and he's sailing directly away from Nineveh. Nineveh's not on the coast. Nineveh's 500 miles inland, and instead of going towards it from where he was called, he literally gets on a ship and starts heading the opposite direction. Isn't it amazing how sometimes we as people will hear from God, and we want to go the exact opposite way? Human nature. So Jonah's running from the Lord, but how many know you can't run? So comes, because it's always going to get rough when you run from God. And so he cries out. When he was running from God, his whole world, and he was taking people with him too. And then he came, he got right. He goes, you know, it's my fault. I'm running from God, and if you'll throw me overboard, it'll help. They did. They listened. They said, oh, don't let his blood be on us. And they threw him overboard. They were more righteous than he was, and they weren't even Hebrew. Threw him over, and God provided a fish to swallow him up, verse 17 says. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Pick it up in chapter 2, verse 1. But from inside the fish, Jonah prayed. Where was he at when he prayed? He was in the mess. He was in the consequences of his actions. In a way, today, maybe America's in the belly of the whale.
Ooh, he was swallowed up.
He was swallowed up in it. Got all swallowed up in it. You know, we're not, this nation, we are not a reflection of what our forefathers founded. They would have never dreamed of murdering babies and marrying people of the same gender. They would have never dreamed of the crazy things that are going on in our nation today. They would have never dreamed of the corruption, the literal lust and love and worship of money. They would have never dreamed of it. And I pray God that he could bring us back to the spirit of the founding of this nation, that we could truly just be a nation where we worship God and we cherish freedom, everyone's freedom. Inside the whale, Jonah cried out. He prayed, and he said this, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Isn't that wonderful? From the depths of the grave, that word is Sheol. And it usually is translated hell. I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me, and all your waves and breakers swept over me. And I said, I've been banished from your sight, and yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, and the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. This is very similar to you thinking about Jesus. You know, Jesus said, this, like Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man. Jesus went, he didn't just go into that tomb for 3 days. He went into hell. That was the penalty for our sins. But God, the Holy Spirit, brought him out. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. And then watch this, verse 8. Here's our big lesson from Jonah as we close. to those who cling to worthless idols, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit what? The grace that could be theirs. What part of the Bible do you find this verse of Scripture in? The Old Testament. And he says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. And what I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. I skipped part of that verse. With a song of thanksgiving, I sacrifice to you. I have vowed I'll make good. Salvation comes to the Lord. And at that, the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah out on the dry ground. And then Jonah went and did what he was supposed to do. Go read the rest of it for yourself. There's some more lessons in there. But I want to focus on this part before we close. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. What is an idol? An idol is anything or anyone that takes the place of God in your life. It is anything or anyone that you trust in more than you trust in God, or trust in instead of trusting in God. Idolatry can be anything. There are a lot of people, money's their idol. Fame, popularity. Many people have many different kinds of idols in their life. At one time, I had an idol in my life. I didn't even know I did. God put his finger on it, showed me. I repented. He took it. I gave it to him. He took it, and I got free from it. I've never been bound to it again. But I didn't even realize. I did not realize. I truly did not realize. Had no conviction about it. Didn't think it was wrong, and then God showed me it was. So what does that tell us about idols? They can be very deceptive. And here's where you and I need to be. We don't need to be asking God for a sign. We don't need to be living in fear that the world is going to end. We don't need to be afraid of solar eclipses or this, that, or the other. But what we do need to do is seek the Lord and ask him to show us personally what we need to turn away from, where we need to repent, so that our hearts stay true and right with God. And then when a nation is filled with people whose hearts are right with God, guess what that nation will be? A righteous nation. That's what we need. And we're not commanded to bash or tear down people who are in offices. So somebody might go, well, aren't you tearing down Joe Biden a while ago? No, by no means am I tearing down Joe Biden. I'm simply stating what the man did. And I'm praying for him. Nothing better would happen to me in my world today for him than that he would be truly born again and know Jesus intimately, and that he himself would renounce and repent from some of the things that he's done, just like I've had to do in my life and am still doing in my life. That's all we want. So listen, don't fear. If you've watched a video that has provoked fear in you about the eclipse or this, that, and signs of the times and the end of the world, Jesus, the only thing that matters is let your heart be right with the Lord. He promised us in the book of Thessalonians, you are not children of the night, born-again Christians. You are not children of the night, that day will overtake you like a thief. The Holy Spirit is going to let us know. We live with our bags packed. We've already got our passport to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We're ready to go. We got nothing to fear whatsoever. Nothing. Do you want God to deal with the United States of America? Do you want God to bring judgment on the United States of America? Most people would say no. I say yes. Please, Lord, please bring your judgment, because our nation is going the wrong way, and it's not going to get better until it turns away from that and turns to you. Don't judge us as... don't let the sins of some fall on others. He won't. He said in his word, the one that sins is the one that will die. Ezekiel chapter 18. He said, don't quote to me the proverb, the fathers eat sour grapes, but the children are the one whose teeth get set on edge. In other words, you and I are not going to suffer the punishment of someone else's willful choice to reject God. He said, well, how can he judge all around me and not judge me? I'll quote to you from his word. Though 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes will I observe and behold the reward, or the wicked getting what they deserve. We may see some of that. We may see some of this judgment come to pass, but fear not. If you're a Christian, you have nothing to be afraid of. Nothing whatsoever. Just look up, because your redemption draws near. He'll be back soon. What's soon? Well, he said, I'll be back soon 2,000 years ago. So soon to you and soon to him, probably not the same thing. But he's coming, and we need to be ready. But we don't need to be afraid. And do not be asking God to give you signs. Amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, y'all. This is the most powerful hour of my day. From all of us here in the studio, myself, Monica Lovell, the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and our awesome brother in Christ, Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.